is here this morning. He is here to minister to every need. Blessed be his wonderful name. He is here to listen to our petitions and our requests. He is here not only to listen to them, but to answer them. Blessed be his wonderful name. This morning, Sister Gail was telling me that as she was talking to her mother, Mrs. Shepherd, over in Rocky Mountain House yesterday, I believe it was, and Sister Shepherd wanted to thank us for praying for a little baby that she's taken care of, that she's been entrusted with. We prayed for her at the Feast of Pentecost. We prayed for this little baby, and this baby was suffering from malnutrition, couldn't walk, it's about a year old, and face was falling in and so on, very bad shape. Wasn't bright, they thought it would be retarded. Today, 3 months later, she's shown signs of starting to walk, she's shown intelligence, and there's been a marked difference. After the prayer, they've been able to see a gradual change for the better. Praise be unto God. Sister Andrew was telling me the other day that just the afternoon and the morning following our prayer for the mongoloid baby that we prayed for here, that he started to show a strength in his body that he's never showed before. He'd almost sat alone, and he was able to, he started to look around and notice things. So God has touched him and is going to change things. Praise his wonderful name. There's those that we would like to see a more definite change, but there is such a confident assurance in their heart that the work has taken place that all we do is just ask God to increase our faith and to never let it fail under testings. Never let symptoms be the thing that dictates to us, but let the Word of God be the thing that we stand on. Hallelujah. The other night, Brother Prather, the request was here. I don't think we got around to pray for Brother Prather. He has suffered. He's a man. I would think he's a man younger than me, and he suffered a heart attack, and he's partially paralyzed, and he's got a family. It must be quite a few of them. I haven't seen them for a while, but there must be quite a few still at home, still dependent upon Father bringing in the bacon, and he needs a real touch of God upon his body today. I have also been requested to pray for a lady in Lloydminster that has never shared this with anybody, but she is suffering from cancer, and she doesn't know the way of God. So we're going to remember that person this morning. We'll also pray for these requests. Please pray for a baby girl, 4 months old, with a heart condition. Surgery is considered. Thank you. Please pray for Mr. Clement of Green Manor, Fort Frances. The doctor has said that they have done all they can. He has several ailments, also cancer, and that he may find rest and peace in Christ. Also for my brother-in-law, who has been in bed for 3 years with a stroke, that he may reach out for help and comfort in God. And I also have another request coming from there, and that is the lady has been bedridden for some time. Sister Fraser looks after her, and she has requested prayer that God will touch her and that he will whisper peace in her heart. Let us take these things to the Lord in prayer, believing that he is hearing and will answer our prayers. Praise be unto his wonderful name. Just before we do, we'll sing again. Thank you, Jim. Let us sing together that lovely chorus, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." But let it be more than a lovely chorus. Let it be the prayer of our hearts, confidence that is there.
In thank you.
you for the hope that lies within our hearts, the implantation of thyself to a measure in each one of us.
Yes, amen, Lord.
And we come before thee, Lord, knowing that thou art God, and we are the sheep of thy pasture.
Yes, amen.
We pray, Lord, that you will loose the bonds that bind these who we have been request for prayer. For there is nothing too hard for thee.
Yes, that's right.
For thou hast created all things, and thou art able, Lord, to mend and to make us after the pattern of thine own will. For these requests, Lord, that our brother has read before us, we pray that thou wilt visit each one of them, not only with thy blessing, but with the blessing of healing. For there is many blessings in our God. And we pray, Lord, that you will heal every member that has requested a touch from thee this morning. We ask you, Lord, that thou knowest their needs, that thou knowest where they are.
Yes, amen, Lord.
Thou knowest the very thoughts and intents of their heart. And dear Lord, we pray now that you will hear our prayer. And our faith might reach out with thee to them, that they might feel and know the life of a risen Christ.
Yes, hallelujah.
We ask it in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh,
hallelujah. Let's just thank him for it. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated, but just stay in the Spirit and let the sisters minister to you.
Reach.
going to sing that again, but I want to tell you, saints of God, that the blood of Jesus Christ never loses its power. It's as fresh today as when it flowed upon Calvary's cross. And while we have been talking about the kingdom of God, I want you to know that the Bible said, Jesus said, that the kingdom of God is like a scribe that has been instructed into the kingdom. He is like one that he reaches into his treasure, and he brings forth that which is old and that which is new. And that which we have had before that has come from God, it finds its fullness and fulfillment in the kingdom of God and in the gospel of the kingdom. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the message concerning the blood of Jesus Christ, goes on into the kingdom. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. If you have never had an experience with God, and you have never known what it is to have your sins washed away, there's only one message, and that is to come to the foot of Calvary's cross in faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that that blood was shed for you. It is applied in a way that I know not how, but he washes the slate clean. He washes you whiter than the driven snow. He makes it so that you can have an audience with God, and God will take you into his family and tell you that you can pray unto him and say, Our Father, my Father. He gives you the spirit of his own Son, which makes you a part of the great family of God. And this morning, if you have been listening to messages as they've been going forth, they have been wonderful, they have been glorious, but they're only glorious because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can have a real experience with God. If you've never had that real cleansing, if you've never known what it is to really know that your sins are forgiven, this morning, right where you are, you can reach out and just say, Lord, just forgive me of all my sins and let the blood of Jesus Christ wash me whiter than the driven snow. Stand as we sing that, and in your heart, will you do that? Praise God. Sing it, sister. Everybody.
They said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. There is peace, oh such peace, in the house of the Lord. As we wait and are all one accord, there is fellowship sweet as we learn at his feet. We commune in the house of the Lord. He's a Father so dear, for his own he doth care. I have learned in communion with him. He is ever so kind when I claimed him as mine. When I came to the house of the Lord, there is love so divine. There is no other kind as I found in the house of the Lord. There there are brethren so dear, and there's naught there to fear. All are one in the name of the Lord. I shall ne'er be the same, for I have a new name written down in the house of the Lord. There are garments to change, and there no one is strange. When we go to the house of the Lord, there's a table he spreads, and the hungry are fed. To do his will is the way to be filled. There we have not a care, for his angels are there to host his sons in that great bill of fare. Oh, you well can afford. He has given his word. All is well in the house of the Lord. There's greater things to be seen, greater things to be heard, just to those who will wait on the Lord. There are wonders revealed from the book that is sealed by his Spirit who dwells in your heart. There's a voice from above, come away now, my love. Let us go into the house of the Lord.
Christ within, the hope of glory. Christ within, all peace sublime. With Christ enthroned, we'll march victorious up that straight and narrow way. Sing, oh sing of his redemption. Sing, oh sing the glad refrain, till every soul has heard the message. There is deliverance in his name.
So I'll stand and sing that. That was written by Sister Amundsen's mother, Sister Dodds. And it's been a wonderful chorus over the years. We haven't sang for a little while, but written by the Spirit, just stand and we're singing together. Praise God. Sister Dodds has gone on, waiting on the other side for us. She's one that compasses around with the company that compasses us, watching on, one of those witnesses. Let's sing it. Praise God. Wonderful chorus.
Christ within, the hope of glory. Christ within. Sing, oh sing of his redemption.
piece that Sister Dodds left with us, and it's Walking with Jesus. And I think a lot of people here know it. We've sang it together. The Edmonton Assembly knows it. So many times I've hummed that piece, and I don't know all the words to it, but it's just wonderful. Walking with Jesus. Hallelujah. How about one of their sisters come? I'd just like to say a word before we sing that again. The Lord just seemed to impress on my heart to tell you this little experience. This song has meant a great deal to us in Edmonton. Sister Dodds received a number of songs from the Lord, and as we have heard at this camp, God seems to be giving more songs to the church than we've ever heard before. And I was glad to see our sister had the music written with that song she sang here a few minutes ago, and I thank God for that. But this song, we sang at Sister Dodds' funeral, and one of the sisters in the congregation said that she saw Sister Dodds standing beside the coffin there, robed in white,
singing together with the family. And she's not one that's given to hallucinations or anything, but God just seemed to open her eyes to see one from that vast company of brethren that we are come unto, praise God. And it was a different kind of a funeral that they've ever had in that funeral home, and the funeral directors remarked about how different it was and how the Spirit of God seemed to be so real there. And when Sister Dodds was prophesied over a number of years ago, it was told to her by prophecy that God would give her all the immediate members of her family. And about 3 months ago, Brother Ewald and I conducted the funeral to one of her brothers. And this was about 5 years after Sister Dodds went on to be with the Lord. 2 weeks before he died, he accepted the Lord as his Savior. One of the sisters in the local church felt to go to see him and talk to him. And when she went to see him, she began to talk about receiving Christ, and he expressed a desire, and he accepted Christ. And Lois was there, and she went out of the room for a while, and she came in afterwards, and he was all smiles, and his eyes were filled with tears, and he says, "I'm one of you now." And he rejoiced in his newfound salvation. And when we conducted this funeral, I had never seen this man in my life before, but I knew of these things. And we went through the meeting. It was nice. We went to the graveyard, and we committed his body to rest there. And we just felt like one of us was being buried there, laid to rest, till that great morning, praise God, when the trump of God shall sound, and we shall all be raised together in him by that resurrection power. And we had all the sisters of the family, of the immediate family, come and sing this song. And they sang it there at the graveside. And many were touched. And Sister Elaine told me afterwards, she said, "You know, everything that happened here today, the Lord showed me, even to the singing of this song around this little gathering here at the funeral, or at the graveside." God gave her a premonition of all the things, even the things that were said. Somehow to confirm that the Lord had answered prayer. Praise God. God does answer prayer. He is answering prayer. Praise God. You may not see the answers to your prayer. Jesus is still looking for the fulfillment of his prayer when he prayed that we would be one in him. Praise God. 2,000 years later, and I know it will be answered. Praise God. So really sing this song with all your heart as we sing it again. Brother Ewald just reminded me, there's a brother here today that accepted the Lord at the feast, a nephew, and he is just rejoicing. The first thing he did, I met him down here, he came and he threw his arms around me like he was in the move for a long time. He was just so happy, Brother Bill Gower, and we're just delighted to welcome him into the family of God. He's here this morning, and we rejoice. If you feel like coming up here and joining us, Bill, come on up. We'd just like you to have you with us.
And Bill is the son of the...
Yes. He's the son of the father that we buried. There he is. Praise God. Amen. He had a little package of cigarettes in here when he accepted the Lord, but they're not there now. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Let's all sing together.
Walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus, day after day, we're walking with Him, till in that glory. Yeah.
to be in the house of God. It is very wonderful to move in His Spirit. And yet I do believe that before us lies things that eye hath not seen, neither heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God will reveal them unto us by His Spirit. I'm very thankful today for the fellowship of the saints. I'm very thankful for the searching of the Holy Spirit. And if there ever is an hour that God is going to search you out and show you who you are and what you are, it's today. And so the other night, I don't know whether it was a vision or whether it was a dream. I rather think maybe it was a dream, because it says that in the last days God had poured out His Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So I guess that's my category. Praise the Lord. And so it really has really, 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 really stirred my heart. And I know that only God will help me give it to you as He wants it to. You know, you can hear and you can hear the message of God, and until it gets right inside of your life, it will not do too much for you. But someday, I think you know that by the reading of the Word of God, you'll get a measure out of it, and maybe a little more light on it. But someday, as you're reading it in the Spirit, it'll jump at you, and it'll partake of you, and you'll partake of it. And then it begins to do something in our lives and in our hearts. I'm noted as the negative preacher to those that walk in the flesh. So I hope this morning that what I have to say to you by the help of God will be not in a negative way, but it's a stirring way. Because we are in the Laodicene age, and it is neither easy, very easy, to get neither hot or cold. And I don't want to see myself, nor I do not want you to see you, according to the Word of God. The Lord said, when you remain that way and are satisfied with me, I'll spill you out of my mouth. In other words, you've let down in the race, and you've allowed the pressures of the age and the things around about you to put in there a sleepiness and an indifference that God doesn't want today. He wants a people that are alive. He wants a people that are dedicated. He wants a people that know who is their God and why we are following Him. Praise His name. And so, if you will turn to me to the Gospel of Matthew this morning, I will endeavor by the help of the Spirit of God to read you this. Now, it may seem circles to you and Dutch to you, but I think we can straighten it out. Now, whether this was a vision or a dream or God talking to me anyhow, this scripture came to me, and it said, repent. It's the third chapter of Matthew and the second verse. And this is what I heard. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh, we are the move of the Spirit. We are saved. We are filled with the Spirit. Oh, you say that belongs way back where Jesus was. Yes, dear people, but this is when He came to be a Savior. But now He's coming to us to be our King. Praise the Lord. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, I took that to myself. Brother Burke said to me last night,
How much fire have you got? I don't mind them talking to me like that. I need fire. I need anointing. I need a God. And I said, well, I think it's more to myself right now, because I believe the Lord has showed me so many things in my life this last 2 days, I'm almost scared to get up on the platform. Oh, we are the people. No, we're not the people. We're the people of making. We are called, yes, but there is so much ahead of us, and so much to overcome in yet. And all the enemy would love to do in this Laodicean age is to keep you neither hot or cold. And the other verse he gave me is also in the 4th chapter and the 17th verse. Jesus began, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As I lay there in the bed and wondering what God was talking to me about, he showed me very plainly that this is his second coming. These words were written around his first coming to be the Savior of the world. And these are the voices of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, that came to herald the message of a Savior that would set men free. And he made me to understand while I lay there on the bed that he has some messengers to do in the house of God to tell the people there is another day of resurrection coming, and there is another day of life coming, and that is in the King. We sing the King is coming, but do we really believe he's coming? What does repentance really mean? Repentance means to look into your heart and life and see where you are lacking. And I nearly fainted. Oh no, I don't smoke. I never did. I can put up a lot of barriers here, a lot of good things. But when God starts to open your life, I'm talking to myself, you can talk to yourself. But when God began to open my life and heart to him and to begin to show me the things that are standing already in my way for being an overcomer, I'm going to tell you, it's time that the whole church repented. In other words, turn away from those things that are holding you down, and your desire is as strong for that as it is for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want you to turn to Matthew 27 and 22. And this is all I heard. And from that on, we'll speak as the Lord asks us to do, but if it doesn't, I'm through. Matthew 27 and 22. And this is we don't need to read it all, but where they were crying for Barabbas. The multitudes were crying for Barabbas. And the leaders of the age at that time, Pilate, said he couldn't see anything wrong with him. And so forth. You know the story without us reading a whole chapter. And I may read the 21st verse. And the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate, an ungodly king, and didn't know very much about the things you and I know, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now this is the question the Lord asked me. What am I going to do with him? I'm not talking about a Savior now. I'm talking about the kingdom. I'm talking about the kingdom. You know, in the most of our minds, we've got far too light of a conception what it means to enter into the kingdom. That statement that was made here last year in camp, that you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can be saved, you can be healed, and you can even possess the gifts of the Spirit and have them in operation. But if you're going to go on into the kingdom, it's going to cost you everything you have. And I believe that God is going to start drawing the curtain back and showing us what manner of man we are. There's a lot of carnality here yet. There's a lot of things. But He is able. He is able to do for you abundantly more than you can ask or think, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But I've got to do something about letting Him in. He's not going to take you down and push it in you. He's going to have you see these things, and in repentance to Him, praise God, He will meet us. Praise the Lord. I hope I'm not talking in riddles to you this morning. I read a lot of Dr. Price's books before I get saved. I read about the twice-born man. I heard his message for 7 weeks, and I was such a good, wonderful Christian. I hadn't killed anybody. I had never smoked or I never drank. And yet, down in my heart, I knew I was the black sheep of the family. But God gave me repentance. And I don't say this critically now. I just want to bear a point. I go to my mother-in-law, and you know, your mother-in-laws are wonderful people. And I'd say to her, "Listen, Grandma, this man's a liar or we're not saved." That's an awful thing to call Dr. Price, wasn't it? I didn't say he was. It was one of the two. And my mother-in-law said to me, "Well, I'm a good Presbyterian. I give $5 to the church every year." Now, I'm not saying, God bless her, she's gone on to glory with us, and she had a wonderful experience in God after that. But this is how hog-tied we get with a lot of our own righteousness and our own carnality. Then my wife, God bless her, we were all trained in that old school of perfectly respectable sinners, and we didn't know it. And she would tell us about all the bundles of cards she had that she'd never missed Sunday school since she was a little wee girl. Now, I'm not making fun of that. I'm trying to bear a point. But I want to tell you, when God took the scales off our eyes and we all walked into the reality of Christ, we never heard any more about placards, or we never heard any more about Presbyterians. Now, there's nothing wrong with a Presbyterian. There's lots of God-blessed Presbyterians that are saved and happy in the Lord. And you know this latest in age? If you don't watch it, it can put you in the same category of moving on into the kingdom. Well, I've got this and I've got that. I have the fruit of the Spirit in my life a little. I can operate a gift. And that's part of it, but that's for the building of it. Praise the Lord. What am I going to do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Am I going to give Him my all, or I'm just going to boast about what little He has given me and be satisfied with it? Just like Brother Terry Miller said the other day, saved, satisfied. And you know, you can get that in the move of the Spirit if you don't watch yourself in this latest in age. Now, if you run me out of town after dinner, I'm ready to go home anyhow. I don't think you will. Brother or sister, I know that 95% or 85% is the sovereignty of God. If I ever overcome and enter into the sonship of God, 85%, but I have a responsibility. And God isn't going to push the kingdom onto us. We're going to walk into it, and we're not going to walk into it only singing. We're going to walk into a lot of it on our knees. I've enjoyed this singing this morning. I hope none of you folks out there were running me off the platform. No, I enjoyed it. That was in the move of the Spirit, and it was God. Praise the Lord. I'm not against singing, but you've got to have more than singing if you're going to conquer the powers of darkness today. Praise the Lord. What am I going to do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Am I going to, is he going to be the treasure of my life? Am I going to live for him, or am I going to live partly for the world? I know one thing, it gave me a shaking up that I've never had for a long time. We have ministries. Now, I'm not saying about you. I'm talking about myself this morning. You can judge yourself. All right, bless your heart. I've been in the ministry 43 years. And I never got fired yet. There's a lot of things you can pop up there, you know. But they're carnal. God is not interested in how long you've been in the ministry. He's interested in how much are you going to give of him, of yourself to him, that he might make you a son of God in the rulership of the kingdom. God bless you. I hope you can say that to me. Because I can't put frills on them. I believe we're in a day and hour today that we better wake up out of our sleep. For now I know our salvation is nearer than when it believed. When I believed. Oh, you say, we're wide awake, brother. What are you talking to us about? Well, if you get a nightmare or a vision or a dream like I got the other night, woe is me, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the Lord of glory. Praise the Lord. I hope I'm not talking riddles. I don't think I am. But you know, this is burning my heart that I can't hardly sleep at night. Praise the Lord. And I'm not here to blister you or anything like that. Brother, sister, young and old, let's quit the monkey business. Because the Word of God, Jesus said, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But I have to confess, I have a lot of divided heart yet. Have you? Oh, no, I'm 101% for the Lord. Well, then you should be a son of God and you should be resurrected by now. As far as I'm concerned, we're on the way. We're on the way. We're in the making. I have brethren before me this morning, and if you can take me to the woodshed after the meeting's over, if you want to. But I believe the Lord has showed me. I haven't had time to talk to them. But I feel that why the Laodicene age is upon us, right? You know it well enough in the third chapter of Revelation there, without me reading it this morning. Maybe I better read that. For the good of those. We won't go through the whole seven churches, which beginning on the day of Pentecost and way back there years ago in the beginning of the church. And these seven is a spiritual number. I even learned that when I was in many other religions and cults before I was ever saved, that he even acknowledged that seven was a spiritual number. But it really, Adonai speaks to us from the beginning of the church age until its closing of it. And if anybody is alive in the Spirit today, and I think you are, that you know we're right at the closing hour of the Gentile age. And we're right at the entrancing into the kingdom age. You don't have to read even the Bible to know that. But the knowledge of the Bible we have now, that it's as plain as the nose in your face. That the Gentile age is closing. And the light and the glory of a kingdom age is about to come. And as the kingdom of God is not only out there, but it's in you. It's got to be in you. And who is the king? Jesus Christ is the king. Praise the Lord. Verse 14 of the third chapter. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. That's the seventh church written in the Word of God in second chapter and third chapter of Revelation. It speaks overall picture of the beginning of the church and the day of Pentecost and the closing in the kingdom hour. And under the age of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things that the Amen, the faithful, and the true witness, beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art either cold or hot. If you take a cup of tea or coffee or any other beverage and it's neither cold or hot, do you want it? It could turn your tummy if you got a tender one. And God doesn't want a people that's either. People that are warm and hot. In other words, they're dedicated to Him, and they're moving up into the possessions that He's paid for and is waiting for you to enter into. Praise the Lord. So because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, you know, you've heard these scriptures before. But as I said before, I have brethren before me, and they can tell me I'm wrong, and I'll come up here and apologize. But I've asked the Lord a lot this last year why it is so easy to get sleepy. Why it is so easy to, although we love the Lord and we want to serve Him, and yet it just seems that there's times that we're just almost divided between, not to go back on Him, oh no, not to say that we don't believe in Him, no, but to walk with Him. He wants us to, we're having a struggle because, why? I think I read in my Bible, and I think this is what the Lord told me. The Word of God tells me that the devil is the prince and the power of the air. It also tells me in the 12th chapter of Revelation that when that out of that travailing woman comes a man-child, and the dragon stood there before it to devour it as soon as it was born, and that man-child company coming out of the travailing woman, which is the universal church, it was standing there by the powers of darkness to eat it up. But she brought forth the man-child. And I say to you, brother and sister, I'm not trying to discourage anybody, but God is going to have a body, and He's going to have sons, whether I go on or whether I don't. When I was a boy, I just delighted to have one of my brothers or my sister sleeping on the couch. In those days, we didn't have vacuums. We just had old straw brooms. And you just go over and break one of them out and just walk over silently and tickle him under the nose with it. And I'm going to say that then he'll roll up the old man that well. If you want excitement around the farmhouse, get somebody sleeping on the couch and either stick it in their ear kindly or just tickle him under the nose. When you're half asleep and you're pretty well dead to the world, and you know sometimes the message of Laodicea is just like a broomstick, a straw. See, if you're half asleep, you're going to be kind of mad at me today. There's nothing as provoking as a has a straw under your nose or sticking in your ear when you want to sleep. Praise the Lord. But why is it that we have to fight the good fight of faith? If I don't care, I'll get out on that. And though we don't want eternal life, we have to stir ourselves. We have to consecrate our lives daily to the Lord. Or because this spirit of the age around about us, and sometimes I don't think we understand what it is. But I'm going to say this. Although it's not down in the earth as it will be in time in the judgment day of the tribulation, but the heavens are being shaken. We live in the city of Toronto. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care to put on them news very often. You think about all the murders, the shooting of policemen, sons that have gone away from home and prejudiced with their father and came home with a loaded gun and shot father, mother, and all the rest of the family. And it's just a common everyday thing. Children disappearing. No, never hear anything more of them. Find them maybe years later in a little grave. And why would a human being in his right senses want to take a little 8-year-old girl or boy and go and destroy him? People say, well, what's wrong with the world? The powers of heaven are being shaken and he's not going to take it laying down. But you and I have a covering. You and I have a protection from God. We have a Christ. But if we get into our innocent spirit, we could have some of those things happen in our own lives. The only safe place today, brother and sister, is in the realm of the spirit. Oh, I've got this and I've got that. I haven't got anything. I've got just a weak fella without the power of God. Praise the Lord. What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Am I going to give him my whole life? When Brother Holt got up on that platform last night, and Brother Inscliffe ministered like he did, he ministered the same thing only in his other way of teaching. And I can't do it that way. And when Brother Holt told us about the prayers of those people in Korea, I wonder how our prayer life is. It's out of fashion now to have a prayer meeting. Why is it out of fashion in the move of the Spirit to have a prayer meeting? I don't say it's universal. I'm talking about an individual. God bless you, Art. I know he worried over us about a family altar. He didn't know I knew it, but I did. But I'm so scared of religion that sometimes I go overboard the other way. But fellas and I have been, since we've been married, we've been having family altar, but not in ritualism. That's worse than not doing it at all. We want, and I was blessed with Brother Wally here the other day. You don't think I hear anything, I do. That's what I'm here for. He said when he goes to study the Word of God, thank you, brother, for the Spirit of God on you the other day. He said, when I go to my Bible or go to study before the Lord, if I have an anointing, he said, I don't just lay it aside until I get the anointing. And if you ask, you shall receive. I'm not talking about prayer meetings, but it would be a good thing if all these people would take a day of prayer together and just pull down the hands of the altar. It'd be far better than gossiping anyhow. Oh, there's no gossip. Oh, it's all right. I just missed that word. Praise the Lord. I got a good aisle to get out with. Praise the Lord. I'm pretty good in the run. Praise the Lord. No, I don't. I know you're not that kind of people. Praise the Lord. I want to impress something. I don't care what it is, brother, that's hindering me from drawing closer to God. I better repent. Now, all your ministers are here today. I love you, everyone. You know I do. But one of the first things the Lord taught me to repent of, and I can't repent of it till I tell you. I thought sometimes your judgment wasn't too good.
See, you can get so cocky yourself that nobody's right but you. And I ask the Lord to forgive me, and I'm going to ask you, fella. I've never been, I don't think, too big a headache to you. I'd like to see the person in this room today that ever had that attitude toward the brethren. We love them, yeah, but sometimes we thought they didn't use the best judgment. Because if they just listened to us, we'd be able to tell them. And if I have, if you ever conveyed anything like that, I want your apology today. Because I know you are the men of God. But we get so cockeyed sure that our opinions is a lot better than somebody else's sometimes. And that's nothing more than the carnal nature. And we have to repent of it. And I repented of it the other night. And I'm going to keep repenting of it. What is repentance? It's just putting away the thing that holds you from being what God wants you to be. Praise the Lord. I don't think there's ever a time I did just love my brethren here and I saw their ministry. I preached it, didn't I? But sometimes I thought they didn't use the best judgment. I could tell them a little, you know. How about you? Praise the Lord. I don't hear many amens this morning. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you wives think your husband doesn't know very much. Vice versa. I think Brother Holt said this one time. I think I heard him say it. If I didn't, I heard it by the grapevine. A woman came to, in the move of the Spirit this last few years, I don't know how many years ago it was, and she was telling Brother Holt, now I maybe shouldn't be saying this, but I think it's right. And she was telling what a dumb husband she had, and he couldn't do this, and he couldn't do that. And you know, Brother Holt, I understood he said, that is very poor, that's very poor judgment on your part. Or she wouldn't have had him in the first place. Well, Brother Holt can make me apologize for that, but I think I heard that, not from him. But I thought it was wisdom from God. And it could be vice versa just the same with your wife. Oh, she's the dumbest thing. Well, that's poor judgment on your part when you picked her. I've heard people say to me, boy, Brother Tyler, you can really pick wives. No, I can't. I just leave it to God. And He knows who I need. And if we leave a little more to God and not so much of what we can do and say, now we can straighten out things, we would have a lot more victory in their lives. And these are some of the things that the little foxes that can spoil the vines of our spiritual experience. Oh, I know we have wonderful fellowship here together. And I know we love one another. But the Word of God said, put aside every weight. And the sin that will easily beset us. Now let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame, that is now sit down on the right hand of the throne of God. That can only be scripture. But there's a lot of truth there. And God wants you to do the same thing and eventually sit down with him in the throne of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now I said I don't think I'm going to be long, and I don't think I'm going to be much longer. Because in the multitude of words, sometimes it isn't wisdom. But brother and sister, I love you all. And I know I haven't been any better than anybody else. But after the experience of the other night, I have got to pay attention to it. Or otherwise, it won't be well. He said, repent to me, not to you, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, I said, Lord, that's spoken by John the Baptist way back there. But that was when Jesus was coming as the Lamb of God into the world to become our Savior. But God is giving us the message of the kingdom now. And so it applies, the Lord says it applies the same today as it did back there. Because he's coming now to be king of my life. And he's not going to enter and have the full possession as long as I don't lay aside the things that I know are not him. Praise the Lord. I don't want to scold you. I'm not trying to scold you this morning. But you know, brother, sister, we're facing a very, very glorious age, but we're facing a dark age too. And we need Jesus. And you, dear people from the West Indies, God bless you. I marvel. And I'm sure if I hear those tapes, or Merv gave me one the other day, I haven't had a chance to think about of Korea. But I'm going to tell you, brother, that struck me awful hard. When I hear of how they seek God, and then Brother Holt getting up here the other night and said they did something for you to see thousands and thousands of Koreans that don't have any advantage like you and I spending, and the voice of God through them, that cry unto God, is going to revolutionize millions of people over there. Because what are you going to do with Jesus which is called to Christ? What am I going to do with the Jesus which is called to Christ? Is he the first as long as the thing I don't want? I want something else. We don't really put him away. We don't say we put him away, but we actually give him second place. Oh no, God doesn't want fanatics. He doesn't want unbalanced people. But he does want your heart. And he wants mine. Give me thy heart. Praise the Lord. And so the Spirit is that's above us here over the realms of the chaos, which even the devil said to Jesus when he took him out and showed all the kingdoms of the world. He said, if you'll only bow down and worship me, I'll give you them all, but you've got to bow down and worship me. Well, did he not have authority over it? But the Lord rebuked him. And I think I'm right, but if I'm not, I can be corrected. Although it's not coming down in his fault, because Christ is starting to inhabit the heavenlies as well as the earthly. And in the time, there's going to be a coming down greater than we have now. But God help us, it's bad enough now. But in him, we have victory. In him, we have life. In him, we can conquer. But without him, we will fail. So tend to it, will you, brother? You pray for me that I attend to mine. That doesn't mean that you just got to be locked up in a crawl all the time. I remember in Pentecost when I was a preacher there, much against my will, had a wife and four children, back in the Depression days. I was running flash machines for a few dollars, $2.50 a day was big wages then. Getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, flashing till 8:30 in the field, and getting home about 10:30 at night. Didn't even have a bicycle. I'm not boasting about this, but I'm trying to bear a point. And I'm going to tell you, I was 32 years of age too at that time. And you know, the minute on Sunday I'd stand behind that little pulpit in that little old church, the anointing would come on me and I'd have the freedom I've got this morning. Because God knew that was necessary. But if I had played around all week and didn't seek him and make available of the time that he's given me and the attention that he's given me, then he'd have left me sitting there. Because I grieve his spirit. And I prayed for rain. Isn't that terrible? I prayed for rain after it was 3 days and then a Sunday. And then it got about the middle of next week. And I want to tell you, you get pretty tired getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and don't get home till 10:30 at night. You just get your eyes shut when the alarm goes off. But I prayed for rain. Why? Because it would stop the ice machine for a day or two. I could get some sleep. But God didn't hear my prayer. And over two Sundays, until the next Tuesday, it didn't rain. And I'm going to tell you, I was about ready to be strung. But one thing I thank God for, when I went behind that little pulpit, he met me. And I find, dear people, God is very reasonable. Don't you? He's very reasonable. But what do we do when we can avail ourselves to wait on Him and to study His Word in the Spirit and praise Him and all these things? What do? Lots of times we're tinkering around on an old bicycle or something. Or doing something we don't need to do. I don't believe in putting yourself in a jacket. God bless you. But I do believe that God first, another thing second. And if I'm going to get in the kingdom, the Lord showed me very plainly the other night, that's the way it's going to have to be. Praise the Lord. Well, I think I'm about done. I hope you're not done yet. Praise the Lord. I don't mean to be nasty. But I tell you, brother, sister, I've got a revelation from God that we're in a very, very serious hour. And it's high time we quit playing church. It's high time we come half-hearted about our consecration to God. Because I want to be there, don't you? I'll bear correction on this before I close. The Lord, I think, made it real to me about a month ago that in this Laodicean age, unless we keep the strength of God in our lives, which is the avenue of prayer and many other ways, we're no match for the present age. And we'll be swept with it. The same as the heavens come down, the powers are taken down as God takes over above. Praise the Lord. And so may the Lord bless you. I was really scared to get up here last night. But then another talked and all on the same line, only in his way of teaching, to give me courage. And I couldn't get away from it this morning. And one brother said to me not long ago, he said, when you speak the Word of God under the anointing, you don't need to make any apologies. Paul said, do I seek to please man or God? If I seek to please man, I cannot be the servant of Christ. But that doesn't mean you have to bawl everybody out all the time and take your vengeance out on them. No. It's a sleepy age. And thank God, God gave me a vision or a dream or whatever it was. I guess I'll have to put it in the category of a dream because I'm an old man. I thank Him for it. But whatever it was, He got through to me. And I hope by the grace of God I will be more dedicated to Him and I won't soon forget it. And I pray to you, dear people, that let His Spirit stir your heart. Let us put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, because he's not going to come to you like a roaring lion in this hour. He's going to come to you so subtle that you don't know he's there. And he doesn't keep you from keeping a full-fledged standing with God. Praise the Lord. Don't be worrying about the roaring lion. He's not coming around that way. We'd hear his bark. But the Laodicean age says you're neither hot or cold. There's an indifferent spirit and can creep into my life, and it has crept into my life. And it can creep into yours. But you don't want it. I don't want it. But we have a power. We have a Savior. We have the one who can give us of his strength that we might overcome every day, every hour, and walk in the Spirit with Him and into the real courts of the Lord and into resurrection. Praise the Lord. I think I've said enough.
Before the feast, something came to me that a brother from Prince Albert, he said, Brother Witter told them, when they come to the feast or camp, they should minister. And you know, that message reached North Valley for the year after. And I was looking to the Lord what I should say, and this thing came to me. You know, I was watching TV, I was watching the Olympics, and I seen this big ski hill. And on the top was a fence on three sides. And that was to protect the skiers from going one way or the other, or going back. And I felt that that fence was made of some farmer's sons and a few others that were saved by His grace and filled by His Spirit. And you know, there was a little girl up on the hill. And her name was Nancy Green. And the bell went off and she went off. And down below there was sticks, the posts. And she had to surround every post. And there was something written on every post. And that was the way to the kingdom. And Nancy Green made every post. I'd like to read some scriptures too, found in 1 Corinthians. First chapter. These scriptures have been with me for over a week, and I'd wake up at night and they were there, and so I felt this was the time to read them. For ye see your calling, brethren. It's the 26th verse. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men have been chosen. That not many wise men have been after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh must glory in His presence.
Water that pours into that rock that lifts the boat is the water from the higher level that eventually the boat will arrive at. It trickles in there quietly, softly, so that the boat will not be wrecked as it moves there, and the locks are there on each side. But as it raises it up to that level, then those gates must be opened. I have come many times to a dead end. I've come, as it were, to the gates of that lock, and I wanted to go through them, and yet I found that there was no way through. I must be lifted up to a higher level in order to go on. This is the time when you repent. This is only through repentance and turning from some things that are in our lives that perhaps up to that time we never knew was there, because God had covered them with that wonderful power that belongs to the age of innocence. He covered them and He hides them. But at that time He reveals them and brings them to light. For we are entering into this like we enter in, like the children of Israel entered into the promised land. God said, I won't drive out all the Hivites and the Canaanites and so on all at once. Because He said, if I did, He said, the wild beasts, you wouldn't be able to possess the land. You're not big enough to possess the land. And all the wild beasts of the forest would come in, and it would be far worse condition. And those men, those people of that land represent the works of the flesh. And God says, I won't take them all away at once. Because if I did, then the house would be swept and garnished, and an evil spirit would come in and inhabit it, because you're not able to possess that. But He said, little by little will I give you the land. And He says to you and I, here little and there little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And we've come to a place, today where I want to know more about God. I want to repent from some of the things that I've been doing, and I want to go on into those deeper things. We may sometimes grow weary in well-doing. We may do, as Brother Tyler said today, come into a state of being lukewarm, where that has never been acceptable with God. He said, I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. I'd rather you be hot. That's what he'd like you to be right on. And I'd like to read before Brother Ewell sings to you a song that I know will mean a lot to you, from the second epistle of Peter in the third chapter in the first 9 verses, in connection with this that Brother Tyler has been speaking to you about. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. We need that. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, and of the Lord, and of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts or after their own desires. They're everywhere around. Now, you're going to come across them. And then, no matter who you are, you will meet the scoffers. They will have an effect upon you, either for good or for bad. They will make you either bold, or they will make you timid and shy and cause you to draw away. But to become bold, you must draw from the resources that God has made available to you and that are in your heart. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all these continue. Continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. They will say such things as this: where is the manifestation of the sons of God? You've taught it for many years. Where are they? For this, along with these other things, for this they willingly are ignorant. They're willingly ignorant of. And by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Brethren, be not ignorant of this one thing. Don't let the enemy take away from you your hope. Don't let him take away from you your constant abiding in that faith and in that thing that God has said. Don't let him take away from you your confidence. But be of those that stand firm on the thing that God has said, for it shall surely come to pass. Be confident of this, that a day that with the Lord as a one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. He wants you to come to repentance today. Stand and close your eyes as Brother Ewell sings, "Is your all on the altar as sacrifice laid?" Make it a new consecration. Make it a new dedication. Repent from the things that you feel that God has put his finger upon in your life.
You have longed for sweet rest and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your oil must lay. Is your blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul He doth fully control, and are all on the altar is laid. Is your on the altar? just open our ears, unstop them, so that we can hear what the voice of the Spirit is saying to us. Oh, Lord, be merciful to us. Just help us, O Lord. For we need you, O Lord, we need you.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. You just make that dedication God wants you to make to Him today. Just right where you are, make that dedication. He's here. Jesus is here to hear your prayer and to take you in. Those of you that have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, accept Him now. May you give your life to Him now. Repent of your sins and accept Him now. We're going to close. Don't forget this afternoon at 2 o'clock that there's pictures concerning Korea, and the brethren will be talking to us. 2:30, sang about the blood that flows and the power of that blood. I have felt that there are some here that would like to have an opportunity to make a confession of their faith. They want to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I'm not going to ask you to come up, but I am going to ask every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed while our sister sings a verse of this song. If you want to accept Christ, will you lift your hand? Just hold it up for a while so I can see it. And then we will talk to you later and help you. Sister, will you sing a verse of this? Close your eyes, everyone, and just those that want prayer to lift your hand. If you want prayer and help to give your life to Jesus.
In a world of fear and turmoil, in a race that seems so hard to
just now, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, for the moving of thy Holy Spirit that is here. Amen, Lord. Yes, dear Lord. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Let the intercessors intercede. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Amen, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Minister to thy people, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Amen.
Oh, it's no good, you know. Well, I have not, no, but